And whatever the profession, most people to me are good, but not all. But let's not condemn all by the actions of a few. So some things happened along that line that I would talk with him about. First trip we made to one school in our conference, I always would be last out of the dressing room, and he usually would come out last and along with me. And he must have signed, I'm not exaggerating when I say 30 to 40 autographs for youngsters. And then I said, "Lewis, we must go. We're playing somewhere the next night. We've got to get on the bus and go." And he'd say, "Sorry to the youngsters," and then he'd walk away. In the big, and here would be adults say, "In who are you here? Look at the big so-and-so, too good to sign autographs," when that's all he'd been doing. I never envisioned that before. I didn't envision the fact that he can't have an aisle seat on a plane because his legs are too long. I didn't envision the fact that he can't buy clothes and you may have some trouble that will fit him.
Yes.
In stores like most of us can.
Yes.
I didn't envision that the tables he's got to sit sort of on an end where he can turn sideways. I didn't envision the problems we were going to have getting beds at that time. Now they have many, many extra long beds, but they didn't have when he played for me at that time. And sometimes we couldn't get him. We got a king-size bed crosswise, and sometimes put chairs and pillows at the end to make them a little longer. Things like those, things of that sort. But the main thing that I didn't realize was sort of like man's inhumanity to man, the statements that would be made that he could hear. And I hadn't envisioned these things happening. So I learned. I think I learned more tolerance in things. He was very bright, you know, very
yes.
bright person. And extremely fine team player and no problem at UCLA in any way. No problem in any way at all.
Coach, what was one of the toughest experiences in your life? You've been alive 80 years. Going on your 81st, I mean, you've been a major part of this century. What for you is one of the toughest times in your life, and how did you turn it around?
The toughest time in the life that I've ever had is the loss of my dear Nellie.
Yes.
And that's been hard. That was 6 years ago, last March 21st, first day of spring.
You were married for 52 years?
We were married going on 53 years. It would have been 53, our next anniversary. But we'd been sweethearts since I was a sophomore in high school and she was a freshman. Just one of those things. When we met, there was just some sort of, I think, before too long, maybe without either of us realizing it, we'd fallen in love, in a sense.
Yeah.
And it never changed. And losing her was difficult. But what changed it around was not me, but others. My children and grandchildren and friends, doctor,
yes,
minister. I think all led. For a year or two, I had a rough time. Then I miss her just as much as ever, need her, love her as much as ever, but I'm wrapped up in my great-grandchildren and my children, and
yes.
I go on for them. But that's been the toughest, most difficult thing that I've ever experienced in any way.
What beliefs did you develop to turn that around? What new beliefs did you have about the situation? Did you develop any?
I think prior to that, to some degree, I had a fear of death.
Yes.
I have none now.
Wow.
None at all.
Why is that?
I'll
be
with her.
Now? You'll be with
what
her.
What other chance do I have to be with her?
Wow.
Is there any other way? No. I'm with her somewhat as I go around the room, because in our condominium here, which she picked out and furnished, I have made a change. The only thing has been addition of great-grandchildren, which she never got to see. Otherwise, there's no addition, no change. It will not be, and I won't move.
She really was your coach, wasn't she, Coach Wood?
Oh, she was a tremendous help. Going back to our high school days, it might be hard for most people to believe, but I, as her parents said, that they had never known anyone as shy as I was. I was very shy.
Really?
And she recognized this, and she got me to take speech and public speaking in high school to try to help me. And that was difficult for me to begin with, but it was of help, and it was good for me. And she was of great help. And then later on, when I graduated and went to Purdue, and found it a little discouraging. There were no athletic scholarships in those days. And I wanted to become a civil engineer, was my ambition, and that was probably the reason I went to Purdue. And I didn't know that you had to go to summer camp every summer to get your degree in civil engineering. And I was going to have to work in the summertime. I knew that. I couldn't go because you didn't get paid for that. It's sort of like a laboratory, I suppose you'd call it. And so I was blue and down a lot. And she was her encouragement that I might not even have finished school. If
Wow.
And I had no problem academically. I was a good student. And I'm very proud of them. I'm more proud of my basketball playing of the fact that when I graduated from Purdue, I received the Big Ten medal for the graduating athlete with the highest grade point average. I'm proud of that.
Fantastic.
And more so than being a basketball player of the year. I'd like that too, but the other one is much more meaningful to me. Then after we were married, when I got out.
You made it through the Depression together? And
yes, tough, but she was understanding. She wasn't demanding about things. Things were not the most important thing in her life at all.
What made her special to you?
To me, she was the cutest, prettiest girl in the high school, and I ever saw. To begin with, why she's elected me, I don't know. But she was just special because of her understanding, and I suspect that earlier she saw through me more than most anybody else. And my last year in high school, our high school coach came up one time and talked to her mother and dad. And he was afraid, knowing that we were in love, that we might get married and I might go to school. And he said to her parents, "Now you wouldn't want Nellie and John to get married and John end up by, not that there's anything wrong with it, but maybe working at a filling station, making $18 or $20 a week, which wasn't too bad then, but you wouldn't want him to do that for the rest of his life." And Mother Riley said, she thought, and she told us about this, she said, "I thought, oh, if he can only make $18 or $20 a week, I'd be very happy." she was just special in so many ways.
She cared for people tremendously.
Very much, yes. I don't believe there could be a better wife or mother than Nellie, and she loved people. She was good.
She may have been your greatest success coach.
Well, I'd have to say that. I'd go along with that, too.
Yeah.
She believed. She was there, always there.
Yeah. She provided some of that certainty that sometimes you needed as support.
Yes.
What advice, I'm sure you guys had challenges in 52 years.
Oh, of course we did.
What advice would you give people living in a society today where people think of a relationship as being long-term that's 2 years old? What advice would you give to help people to stick to it and make a relationship work?
Listen to the others. Communicate. Don't keep things all hidden. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, if you disagreed, don't be disagreeable. Talk it out. And, of course, the final things, love.
Yeah, it's always the base.
Mm-hmm.
What is your most treasured memory?
Things with Nellie. Just various things.
That's nice.
Are the most treasured. And then with our children and family.
Yes.
Things that are family-oriented are my most treasured memories.
What do you value most in your life now?
Well, I'm living for my family, my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They give me reason to go on and to do things and not become a sort of a hermit-like person. And I'm pleased that so many of my ex-players are in contact with me and ask me about things.
What are the most important lessons that you've pulled from this life that you think would be valuable to share with your grandchildren and to share with just people as a whole? And what are the lessons of the 20th century for you personally and in terms of your life?
So difficult to answer that, but I would say that among the things that I think are real, real important, and maybe I haven't lived up to them to the degree that I should have, and that is that being concerned for others, being considered for others. The golden rule.
Yes.
Being considerate of others maybe covers a multitude of things. Well, they say, there's a mystical law of nature that the three things that mankind crave most are freedom and peace and trying to think what the third one is. But at any rate, you can't have any of them unless you give them to others.
Maybe the third one's love.
Yeah, you say there's many things along that line, little sayings that I'd like to pick up here and there from The vision of Sir Launfal, but it's not what we give, but what we share. For the gift without the giver is bare. Who gives of himself with his alms feeds three, himself, his hungering neighbor, and me.
Wow.
And there's so much truth in those things. You can't live a perfect day without doing something for another without any thought of something in return.
That's wonderful.
I believe those things. Not that I've lived up to them. Don't misunderstand me at all.
Well, you've certainly pursued them on a regular basis.
Try.